Hello and welcome to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. If you're ready to be independent in helping your family with acute and chronic conditions in a more natural way, if you're interested in learning how to use homeopathy at home, and if you enjoy positive, encouraging messages, then this is the podcast for you. Click subscribe, grab some coffee or tea, a pen and a notebook, and get ready to learn how to use homeopathy at home in your family. The information in this podcast and its transcription is to be used for education only. The suggestions here should not replace the advice of your medical doctor, and you should never stop any prescription medications without the advice and direction of your doctor. I am not a physician. I am not prescribing. And I am not making healthcare decisions for you. It is your choice to use the information provided here and in any future communications with me regarding homeopathy and natural healthcare.
Welcome back to Homeopathy at Home with Melissa. Hey, Melissa.
Hey, Bree, I'm excited to talk about burns right here, just in time for all your summer activities.
I know, me too. I feel like it's very appropriate. It'll come out just in time. If you're in any southern states like I am, we are already in beach time, or if you've gone on spring break vacations. So we're going to cover burns. Obviously, burns are very painful. Most often we are dealing with minor burns, but more severe burns can also be treated and addressed with homeopathy. So most of you know there are different types of burns, and maybe you don't know all the different ways to tell or what they look like. So we're going to talk about that first. We have general burns, which are from heat, like fire, the oven, stoves. Scalds often involve hot liquid, and they can sometimes be over larger areas because the liquid moves. So when you touch something like the fire, obviously, or a stove, that's more of an isolated burn, where scalds do cover more body parts typically, or larger areas of the body. Burns from cold, so freezer burn or frostbite, they're not necessarily cold burns, but the damage that they do to the tissue is almost identical. That is very interesting. So that's really cool. Also why I love homeopathy, right? If you went to allopathic medicine, those would be treated differently. So this is fun. There are first, second, and third degree burns. Electricity can cause burning. Radiation can cause burning. That can often come from cancer treatment. There's sore skin, and also though sunburn is considered a radiation burn. So allopathic medicine, the word allopathic literally means opposite treatment, opposite medicine, or opposite of the pathology medicine. So the first thing allopathic medicine would say to do is to start cooling the burn as quickly as possible. Run it under cool water for at least 10 minutes or until the pain feels better. After the burn has been cooled sufficiently over quite a period of time, it's safe then to use calendula cream or gel if it's a minor burn. Homeopathy says to cool the burn with more of a lukewarm water than cold. So the first thing you're going to want to do is assess how bad the burn is. This sense of size, larger than the size of a person's hand, or if it's on the face, hands, feet, or if it's really deep, seek help. So don't just try to treat that all on your own. In most things, they talk about the rule of nines to identify if a burn needs help. So why is it called the rule of nines? Is there nine different things?
Well, that's what I thought at first when I read it, but it's 9%. And so we're going to talk in a little bit about, so for an adult, if the burn is bigger than the palm of your hand, that's 9% of your body.
Okay.
So, well, when I say adult, your hand, child, their hand. So the person who's gotten burned, okay. 9% of the palm of their hand, if it's bigger than that, then you need to get help.
Okay. That's interesting. That's a good one to know. Okay. So the rule of nines. So a burn that's slightly bigger than your palm. Okay. That makes sense. Obviously remove any jewelry or clothing near the burn, unless it's stuck to it. So never peel stuck clothing off of a burn. That just makes me cringe.
Yeah.
Cover the burned area with kitchen cling film, so like shrink wrap,
mm-hmm.
or a clean material that's not fluffy, so like a clean plastic bag. That helps stop the moisture escaping and keeps the wound clean. If you're uncertain, seek medical help. Okay, so the different types of burns, first degree burns, those only affect the epidermis or the outer layer of the skin, and that at the burn site, it will be red, it'll hurt. It might look like it's dried up or slightly cooked, which is so such a kind of gross way to say that, but that's fine. I know that makes sense. But first degrees don't usually have blisters. A mild scald or mild contact with something that is just red, hot, and sore. It can still be really painful, but if there's no real deep tissue damage done, and usually there's usually not even blistering. So a bad sunburn might be an example of a first degree burn. Especially if it gets like a bad sunburn before it blisters. I've seen that look like wrinkly and dried up. And the type of burns that we might get in our kitchen are usually first degree. So just that outer layer of skin. Sometimes we can get second degree burns in the kitchen also doing normal stuff. So those are also usually safe to address at home. Second degree burns, known as partial thickness burns, involve the epidermis, so the outer layer, and part of the dermis, so a little bit deeper. The burn site will also be red. There will very often be blisters, and it may be swollen or painful. So they're deeper. They're a little deeper under your skin, and they're very painful. And you can see immediately that the skin is broken and that there's layers that have been burned through. So that's not just redness on the surface of the skin, but it's blistered and sore. You have to be careful with burns, even first degree or second degree, especially if they cover a large area of your body. Because your body can go into shock. The worse the blisters are, the longer the burn will take to heal. Sometimes even in a second degree burn, they may require skin grafting. So use your judgment. If you're unsure, like we said before, get help, go in. I mean, we're talking like you can still use homeopathy either way. If you go in, you can still use it to help with the healing. But, don't hear us say you should just stay home and do all this at home. Obviously, you can get it checked out. So cool the wound, cover it with something like before, like cling wrap or plastic. And if you're unsure, go get some help. Third degree burns are the most severe. There is a category for fourth degree, but it's very rarely used because they go through every single layer of the skin, down to the bone sometimes. And they are not painful because they have destroyed all the nerve tissue on the way down. So they're curiously unpainful, but there may be pain as the nerves start to regenerate. So through the healing process, that type of burn could be waxy and white. The skin could be charred or dark brown. There may be blisters or flat blisters that look very dark that don't develop into a blister. Complications from that can be shock, infection, tetanus, hypothermia. So when people are very badly burned, they lose a lot of heat through their skin. So they're body can actually become hypothermic, and they lose a lot of fluid from the surface of the skin. So they can have hypovolemic shock. So first aid for first and second degree burns are pretty much the same. You're going to cool it, cover it, give remedies, keep an eye on it, and then make a wise call, like use your discernment and make a decision as to whether you can treat that at home or you need to go get some help. So first aid for a third degree burn is not something you should do. It's not something you want to do at home. Get that person to the hospital, and you can help with recovery afterwards, but after the patient's been stabilized, especially using, which we'll talk about these, Cantharis and Costigan. So hopefully that gives you some background. And then as we talk about the remedies, Melissa's going to do that. And then you have a place for those when you think back on the treatment.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that, Bree. That was really good information. And what we'll start with is Arnica, which you would give at the very first and the beginning of a burn for the shock. So it might help the burn, but it probably is not going to help the burn too much. We really are addressing the fact that there was a shock, right? Anytime you get burned, it's a shocking situation. And, you know, if it's just a little first degree burn, you know, you touched a stove the child touched a stove and they jump back and get burned, I wouldn't worry too much about Arnica with that. I would just go right into the burn remedies. But, you know, You can take it case by case, but for the most part, especially the more severe the burn is, the more shock that there was. And so Arnica, I would give a 200C, and you could give it several times. You might even choose aconite. You might consider aconite. And I would give those one of those a few times if needed before starting the burn remedies. They might just need one dose, but addressing the shock can help them to heal better. So we're looking at, you know, the mental, emotional, let's get that calm. And you'll see some of these remedies that we talk about the mental, emotional condition of the person. When we get them, their mental, emotional picture calm, then they can heal better. So the first burn remedy, my favorite, is Cantharis. And you could use a 30. I really do like a Cantharis 200 in an acute burn. But Cantharis is a Spanish fly, and this can address any burn. So it's my first go-to. Make sure it's in your first aid kit. Make sure you have it with you. And you can just use Cantharis without even thinking. It can address any burn. you can use it for first degree, second degree. You can even use it for third degree burns on your way to the hospital, right? And it's just one of the best burn remedies. There might be blistering, swelling, a lot of pain, burning, tingling. Cold water feels better for this person. They want to put a cold cloth on the burn, or they want to stick their, you know, the burned part into cold water. And as soon as the water starts to warm up or the cloth starts to warm up, the stinging pain comes back. So then they want to hurry up and cool that again. So they want fresh cold water or a fresh cold cloth. So they keep asking, can you cool this off again? Cool this off again. Because as soon as it's not cold anymore, the pain comes back. So cold is immensely soothing, and it actually does help clear the pain quite a bit. Urtica urens is the stinging nettle. And it's a remedy for more minor burns. You can find some creams that have urtica urens in them, and you can use those creams topically if the skin isn't broken. So it's useful for, again, those minor burns, the topical burns. The skin will be hot and red. And again, the skin should not be broken or blistered if you're going to use a cream on it. So if it is broken or blistered, you want to use the remedies by mouth instead of putting a cream on. You can use urtica urens for first degree burns where there's no blistering. The skin is not broken, but it's red, hot, and uncomfortable, and it might be a little bit itchy. So it's also useful for severe sunburn and scalds from hot fluids. So the person might prefer something a little warm on their skin. The cold feels too cold. They don't like it. So So sunburns with intense burning and itching. You might choose urtica urines in a 6X. So the lowest potency you can get is what you want to start with. And then causticum. Causticum is great for the second degree burn, even the third degree burn, again, on the way to the hospital. So although you'll usually be helping a person afterwards for the ill effects of a burn, of a third degree burn, you might choose to give some causticum on the way, or you might give the cantharis and causticum alternating after they get stable to help speed the healing. And it can take away a lot of the pain. These two remedies can take away a lot of the pain. So this is a burning raw pain. The person might feel quite tearful, and it's very good for helping burns to heal. Even somebody who has a really severe burn and they're in the hospital, then you can use, think of causticum for those people who are in the hospital for a long time with burns. So they might have even had skin grafts, and this remedy can help them recover. Arsenicum album, most people know arsenicum has burning pains, right? Anytime we think of a burning sensation in the body, most of us think of arsenicum album. And it's this can be good for a serious burn with a lot of pain. Remember, arsenicum, a big keynote of arsenicum is restlessness due to anxiety. So they're moving. They're pacing. They're moving from place to place, and they're pacing because they're worried. They might be scared that they're going to die because of this burn or because of what's happening. They might be scared that it's not going to heal, right? They kind of think, they get really worried about their health condition. And so arsenicum does not like, the person who needs arsenicum does not like to be alone. They feel really cold. They're chilly. They might even say they're bone cold and very tired. Arsenicum has a lot of weakness and just tiredness. They don't want cold on any part. They want warmth. So even if their skin feels warm and they have burning pains, their burning pains are better for heat. So the skin may be blackened. The circulation to that part of the body might be compromised. And it can be useful in severe burns, especially when gangrene is developing or has developed. And when we're seeing the circulation is compromised and the blood flow to that part of the body is affected, then this can happen. That's what can happen in burns, and especially burns to the fingers and toes. We're going to think of arsenicum album when all of those things happen, the compromised blood flow. And arsenicum is one of our top remedies for gangrene. Cicale cornutum is a lot like arsenicum. It's especially good for the burns to the fingers and the toes. This is where the circulation is compromised. Again, gangrene again. The skin burns, although it's cool to the touch. So these remedies, like I said, look a lot alike because they're deep burns. There may be charring of the skin and there may be gangrene, but the difference is that cicale wants a cold application and arsenicum wants a warm application. There's your differentiation. Agaricus muscarius has the features that you might see in the first degree burn with swelling, burning, redness. There might also be cramping in the affected part. That's a differentiation. If it's the fingers or toes, they might be cramping up. Some people experience lasting redness and symptoms of rosacea. So this after the burn. So then it can be worse for open air, worse for cold air, worse after eating, worse before a thunderstorm, and gently moving around can be helpful. So this isn't the pacing of arsenicum album so much as just a gentle movement can help them feel better. So those are some of our biggest burn remedies. And Bree, did you think of any questions or anything else maybe I should have talked about?
I did think of one thing that if you've taken any of the Gateway study groups with us, but the cell salts, we've talked about cell salts for burns. Mm-hmm. And I believe Nat Muir is the one that you put in water, right? And you can do that as a dressing.
That's right.
So that was something I had thought about that I just had collected in my notes over time.
When the burn forms blisters, nap mirror, because nap mirrors are water balancer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can, what would you do? Like a water dose in distilled water, just water?
And so put you can that apply on? It. Yeah. You can apply it topically. Like, you just dissolve the remedy in water and then apply it topically. But you can also just take it by mouth. Either way. Yeah.
So then, question about that. When you're doing a topical, any kind of remedy, like if you're doing I just don't do that. So I don't know that I even would in that situation, but let's say somebody was going to, does potency matter as much when you're doing something topically? Do you know?
Well, it doesn't matter as much as the right remedy anyway.
Right.
But I see what you're saying, and I still would try to go low potency because it's a physical condition. So usually the lower, the better.
All right. So that was what I had thought of. But otherwise, no, I think that was good. Most of the time, it's funny too. Actually, I did think of one. Your chamomilla story. Would you like to share that here?
Yes.
Because it's kind of a one you would not normally go to for burns, but you have a cool story. So I want you to tell that.
That's right. So chamomilla is another one. It's for pain and it can be for burns. So yeah, that totally should have been in there. And so my chamomilla story is about my youngest son who burned his finger on the stove. And he, he went upstairs. He was really quite upset about his burned finger. And of course, I was giving Cantharis. So I gave Cantharis. I went back downstairs, was, finished cooking or cleaning or whatever I was doing. Went back up. He said it still was bad. So I gave another dose of Cantharis. Went back to do whatever. When I came back up to check on him the third time, I asked him how he was, and he's sitting there, like holding his finger, and he pointed at me and screamed, "Your stupid remedies aren't working." And I was like, whoa. So this kid is totally mild, sweet, calm. Never. That was so out of character for him. And I immediately saw the Cantharis picture, right? Chamomilla picture. Yes, that's what I meant to say. I immediately saw the chamomilla picture because it was angry, irritable, screaming, mad, and it was out of character for him. So I went and gave him Cantharis. He fell asleep. And when he woke, which is a good sign, when he woke up, it was so gone that he didn't even remember which finger was burned. So it was pretty amazing. And I never would have thought of Cantharis, but it does have in the materia. I'm sorry. I keep saying Cantharis.
I'm just going to say that again.
Chamomilla. I never would have thought of chamomilla, but it does have burns and pain it's got extreme pain, in the materia medica. So yeah, forget about that.
I feel like that's a really good example too, of sometimes people they ask us like, well, how do you ever know which one to choose? Right. We just gave you like six or seven remedies. And there are differentials in there, but when you're in the moment, I mean, I don't got time to ask you, do you want cold water on there? Do you want hot water on there? Do you want this on there? Do you want this? So we really just say, start with Cantharis, well, aconite and arnica. Number one, that can help the person get to a more calm state of mind to even respond. And then depends on the person. If it's my toddler, I'm just going to start with Cantharis or a kid. And we're just going to try it like you did with your son. And chamomilla, you saw a very clear. So unless you see a really clear other picture, maybe then you just start with Cantharis for a topical burn, like a at home, easily treatable burn.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's the rest of those remedies can be, once you get the person stable and calm, then you can start researching and you can start asking questions and those can come a little
something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I loved the rotating with causticum, and then the other, so those remedies will help with the healing too, the skin healing, which I think is amazing. Yeah. I would love if any of you guys listening have stories of like more severe burns that you have used remedies for. Huh. That you can share, or if you ever were in the hospital and like doctor, or I don't know if people noticed the healing was different when you were using remedies. I'd love to hear those stories.
Yeah, Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in as we talk about burns.